We haven't been in Romans for the last two Sundays, feeling it was needful for us to pick up on some thoughts that I discovered while studying about having the Spirit of Christ to be of His. Because if I don't have the Spirit of Christ, I will be none of His. And that means that I will not rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. If I don't live like the Lord, then I'm not going to be with Him. I'm not going to rule and reign with Him. And we see that in politics today. The people who support you, who believe like you believe, they're the ones that you put in around you to help you to do what you want to do. And so, and Jesus Christ was one who wanted to do the will of the Father. And you know what? He wants us to do the same thing. And those who do the will of the Father are the ones that are going to enter the kingdom. That's what it says. So we have been looking in Galatians. And I want to just read from Galatians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. To begin our thoughts this morning and focus on these verses and other verses as well. So in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not as to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Which is the word Christ is a transliteration of the word Christos. And if you translate that word, you would translate it as anointed. And I think it ought to be translated. Because the promise was not made to Christ. It was made to Abraham. Okay? And to his anointed seed. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it might make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Therefore, then serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. In other words, the law was given so that people can be just. And so that those who are just can live by faith and enter into the land. Because by faith they conquered Jericho. Faith began when the children of Israel entered into the land west of the Jordan River. But anyway, it was added until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Now, the promise was to Abraham, and we read verses 16 and 17, and references made in those verses to promises, to a covenant, and to the promise, singular in number. There are many promises that have to do with an earthly inheritance, earthly blessings. It says, if you will do things that I tell you to do, it's going to rain at the proper time on your crops so that you'll have an abundant crop. So there are earthly promises, earthly blessings, and then there is the promise. And the promise, is a reference to a heavenly inheritance. age-lasting life, which has to do with the coming kingdom. Now, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons," or to become sons, or sonship. Jesus came when some time had been fulfilled. In other words, in the fullness of times, Jesus came. Jesus came when it was at the proper time. He was waiting to come at the proper time. And we read here, He waited to come until the seed should come. Okay? He was waiting for the seed to whom the promise was made, which was of Abraham's seed. That's the seed that He was waiting for to come. And we'll look and we'll put those together in just a moment. So Jesus came and made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that He might receive the adoption of sons. In other words, that we, brethren, might receive the adoption of sons. Now, when Jesus came, He brought with Him a salvation message that was not preached before. It had been hidden. In 1 Peter 1, verses 4 through 5, it says, "To or for an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." There had been a message preached that there is an earthly kingdom. But there was no hint of a heavenly kingdom. And so when Jesus came, He began to preach about a heavenly inheritance and a heavenly kingdom. This was unknown to the nation of Israel. And this message is a message of salvation. Not the common salvation, but the so great salvation, which has to do with His kingdom, His coming kingdom. Verse 5, it says, "Those that are looking forward to that heavenly inheritance reserved for them," or inheritance that is reserved for them in heaven, "they are kept by the power of God." How? Through faith. What do you mean through faith? Well, without faith it is impossible to please Him. And faith gives substance to what? Our heavenly inheritance. And it also gives us incentive to live in such a way to get it. Okay? You have to live, you have to do the will of the Father to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so therefore, faith helps us give substance to that heavenly inheritance so that we will want to do the will of the Father and enter into that kingdom. And through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. And I associate these last times as the last 2,000 years, not the last 100 years. But I do associate this salvation because it was revealed in Jesus' day. And so therefore that salvation of the soul, or the salvation that has to do with the coming kingdom, was revealed when Jesus began His ministry. Now, we have been talking about this seed, the anointed seed, the last two Sundays. And this morning I wanted to direct our thoughts to an Old Testament type. I want you to see this in the Old Testament, because I'm persuaded that Old Testament types restrict erroneous teachings from the New Testament. It's amazing how people can teach things that are not supported in Old Testament types and pictures. Now in Acts chapter 7, verse 11, it sheds a whole lot of light on what we've been talking about. So let's look at Acts 7:17. "But when the time of the promise drew near or nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham the people grew and multiplied in Egypt. Notice that there came a time when the promise that God made to Abraham was going to happen. When? 430 years after Abraham was living. 430 years. And the promise drew near. Notice what happened when the promise drew near. Acts 7:20. Moses was born just like Jesus Christ was born when the seed came on the scene. See, 430 years later, the seed came on the scene in type. And it wasn't all the people. We'll see that in just a moment. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, and it says, "And God heard their groanings, and God remembered His covenant with whom? With Abraham. And with Isaac and with Jacob." And I think it's important for us to remember that, because there were two promises, or there were more than one promise being dealt with. One had to do with the covenant, and another one had to do with an oath, which had to do with the law, and which we'll look at in just a moment. The law is east of the Jordan River. The covenant is west of the Jordan River. The law, the oath, is out where the wilderness is and the desert is, but the covenant is with the land flowing with milk and honey. And I can assure you, I know which place I'd want to be. So anyway, let's continue. Because we will see this in Psalms 105, verse 8. He hath, by the way, this is in two places, almost verbatim, in 1 Chronicles and also here in Psalms 105. It says, "And He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant He made with Abraham. And He made an oath unto Isaac." Covenant with Abraham, an oath to Isaac. "And confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law." So we have Isaac and Jacob getting the law. But a covenant was made with Abraham, and that Abraham was extended to Israel. God makes a distinction between Jacob and Israel. If you read through the Old Testament, you see the children of Israel over and over and over again. You don't find the children of Jacob hardly ever. It's there occasionally. But when you, I don't know how many hundreds of times it's the children of Israel. Now, what does the word Israel mean? Well, it means a prince of God. At least that's what it says in my margin in Genesis chapter 32:28. Israel was a prince of God. He was a... In fact, I put a little note here, see Strong's. I didn't put Strong's in here because it's pretty strong. And it might not go over well because of what it says in Strong's. The other dictionaries sort of soften it down over what Strong has to say. So you look that up when you get home. And it's for an everlasting covenant. In other words, Abrahamic covenant to Israel is an everlasting covenant. And that word everlasting is age-lasting in the Septuagint. In fact, if you were to look in Rotherham's Bible, you will see he's translated age abiding. But anyway, the covenant has to do with the millennial reign of Christ, basically speaking. And that is an age, the millennial age, a thousand year reign of Christ. "Saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan," that is, the land flowing with milk and honey. This is the better inheritance. Remember, God gave Abraham and his seed from the Nile River all the way to the Euphrates River. So there is a huge chunk of land not even referred to in the land of Canaan. And they refer to this as the land of Canaan, which is a land flowing with milk and honey. And unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when there were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. And when I think about that, I think about many are called, but few are chosen. Very few are chosen. When they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, this is talking about after the dispersion of the 70 weeks, or not the 70 weeks of Daniel, but the 70-year captivity and beyond. In other words, they went from nation to nation. He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed ones, plural. And I associate that with Israel. Don't touch my anointed ones who are of Israel, those who are princes with God. Now, in Acts chapter 7, verse 25, it says, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. Well, that sure sounds like a lot of what went on while Jesus was ministering here on the earth. They didn't understand. Some did. The many that were called and the few chosen did. But that he would be delivering them. And this word, by the way, would, is in the present tense. And the word deliver can also be translated save. So it's a continual delivering. The word salvation means more than being just born from above. Moses was delivering the children of Israel. He was saving the children of Israel from the law of Egypt and the burdens of Egypt. But anyway, Moses came to deliver, so did Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 15, the children are chosen over the fathers. Only the Lord had delight in thy fathers to love them. And he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. In other words, the fathers were not chosen. The fathers were loved. It was the little children that were chosen. Now, Exodus 3:22 refers to the little children. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and shall put them on your sons and your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. So who was it that got the jewels of gold and silver and raiment? The kids. The little children are the ones who got it. They are the ones who entered the land. Not mom and dad, but the children were the ones, the little children. And of course it refers to them in Numbers chapter 14 as the little children would go into the land. What is interesting here is this. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 53, we see Rebekah, who is a type of the bride of Christ, going to Isaac, who is a type of Christ. Okay? And it says, the servant, Eliezer, brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. Only Rebekah got those gifts. Rebekah's family did not get any of those gifts. And none of her attendants got any of those gifts either. This was for a chosen person. Just like the children, the little children, were chosen to go into the land and not mom and dad. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 22, it says, now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude. The little children are a type of those who will have a heavenly inheritance, who are kept by the power of God through faith. And they are the ones who responded to the salvation that would be revealed in the last days, like we are living in today. Now, Moses is a type of Christ. In Acts chapter 7, verse 37, "This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear." You need to know that, if you need to have that verse to know that Moses is a picture or type of Jesus Christ. And when God needed a deliverer for the seed, Moses was born. When God, when the seed that of Abraham came on the scene, Jesus was born. In Galatians chapter 3:14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I put in here 1 John 2:25, the promise is age-lasting life. The promise is ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. And at one time, this blessing was only to the house of Israel, the perishing house of Israel, and not to Gentiles nor Samaritans. Now, in verse 15 of Galatians 3, it says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto." In other words, it cannot be changed, nor can there be anything added to the covenant. The covenant made with Abraham, it won't be changed, and it can't be, it cannot be canceled, neither is there anything can be added to it. Now, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 15, it says, "For when God made promise," aorist participle, "to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured," aorist, "he obtained the promise," singular. So Abraham patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Well, he hasn't entered into it yet, but he obtained it. How? By patiently enduring. And that's aorist. And the reason why I put aorist, I wanted you to see aorist, this is aorist with a big dot. In other words, it meant that he didn't quit any time during his life. He made mistakes. Abraham made them. We make them. Okay? But Abraham got back in line. And so therefore, he patiently endured, big dot, to the end. He that endureth to the end will be saved. What kind of salvation? Salvation of the soul. The soul, great salvation. It doesn't have anything to do with the common salvation, because you don't have to endure for the common salvation. You believe, you're in the family. Now, in Genesis chapter 17, we see the covenant made with Abraham. And it says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee," emphasis, "me and you, Abraham, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an age-lasting covenant." Now, Rotherham translates that age-abiding. The Septuagint translates that as age-lasting or age, aionion. And I believe that this covenant has to do with the millennial age. Because the in 1 Peter it says that the they were wondering about the salvation that they were writing about, but they couldn't understand it. And I think that this is the reason why they couldn't understand what the Lord was preparing for those in the last days to understand. They couldn't get it because they were looking for an earthly situation. Okay? Now let's continue. It says, covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan. Notice that he's given him a particular part of the land that God gave to Abraham. God gave Abraham the land flowing from the Nile River all the way to the river Euphrates. But this land, this covenant, was for the land of Canaan in type, an age-lasting possession, and will be their God. Now down in verse 10 it says, "This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised." That is the covenant, circumcision. Well, it's actually the seal of the covenant made with Abraham. And you'd have to get into Romans 4:11 to find out what that was all about, what circumcision is all about. The Jews made it into a ritual, but it was actually a sign of the righteousness which is of faith. Romans 4:11, "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe," present active. Abraham is the father of all that believe in the present tense. There was no one father of those who believed before Abraham. "Though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed to them also." What righteousness? The righteousness which is of faith. That's the covenant that God made with Abraham, had to do with the righteousness which is of faith. And if you have the righteousness which is of faith, you will enter the kingdom. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom." Your righteousness has to be of the scribes and the Pharisees. You've got to be just before you can live by faith. And the scribes and the Pharisees were just plus. Okay, and the reason why I put the word plus in there, they added a bunch of other stuff to it. But at least they kept the moral law. Do you understand what I'm... they had a bunch of other things that having to do with washing your hands and so forth and so on. But anyway... Now, that was the covenant, and the sign of the covenant was circumcision. Now, in Galatians 3:16, it says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is anointed." Now, I put in the word seeds, plural, have to do with Hagar and Ishmael, and it has to do with Keturah and their six children and all of their descendants. So there are many seeds of Abraham, but he's not talking about seeds as many. He's talking about the anointed seed. And I translated it from the Greek text, And it translates, "Now to thee, Abraham, were spoken the promises, and to the seed of him." And to the seed of him, not he says, "And to the seeds," that is of Abraham, as concerning many, but as one. And so the words, "the seed of him," the seed of thee who is anointed. That's who he's talking about. And that's what I believe that verse supports. "And to the seed of him who is anointed." Because it goes on, "And to the seed of him," not he says, "and to the seeds," plural, "as concerning many, but as concerning one seed." And that seed that is anointed. Now, in verse 17 of Galatians 3, it says, "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God," the law, by the way, I didn't realize this, but I found this out, the Nestle's text omits "in Christ," which is interesting. But, and I, and it's, It makes better sense for it not to be there, okay? Because of the context of the word Christ being anointed, in my estimation. So the covenant was confirmed before the law, which was 430 years after the covenant was made with Abraham. And that covenant cannot, or the law cannot disannul it or invalidate it. That is, the law should make the promise of none effect or void. In other words, if the promise is on the basis of the law, the ceremonial law and the moral law, then the promise is no more a promise. It's an obligation, in essence. And so it's not a promise. And so therefore, the covenant confirmed before the law, and the law does not affect it. Verse 18, for if the inheritance, that is the promise of verse 17, be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Perfect middle. God did it because he wanted to. For him, the middle voice means for myself. And perfect tense means he did it in the past and it continues to the present, to Abraham. And that promise was till the seed should come. Wherefore then serveth the law, it was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. In other words, the seed that should come, I believe, is the anointed seed and not Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm just telling you, that's what I see. The seed that was coming was those who had ears to hear and eyes to see. That was the seed that came on the scene, and that caused Jesus Christ to be born, just like Moses was born when it was time for the promise to be given to the nation of Israel, or to the children of Israel. Because in Galatians 4:4 and 5 again, it says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sonship. That is the covenant, which is to rule and reign. That was made with the Prince of God, Israel. In fact, let me just say this. Strong says, Israel means to rule as God. That's pretty strong. Israel means to rule as God, according to Strong's Concordance, okay? And to receive the adoption of sonship means to rule and reign. If you're not received into, as a son, you won't rule and reign with Christ. Now, the time is fulfilled. What? The promise. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, the time is fulfilled. It's time for a new message for a new people. It's a time for a new message for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. It's time for a new message for those who have jewels of gold and silver and precious stone and raiment. Okay? And it's repent ye for the and believe the gospel. In Acts 2:38-9 it says, when Peter was with them, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus, that is, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift from the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the promise, definite article the before, promise, singular in number, is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, as many as of the Lord your God shall call. So when the fullness of time came, he was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and baptism. And that's what Peter told the children of Israel at Pentecost. And he referred to that gift as the promise, which I believe was made to Abraham. And it's for those that are called. Okay, it's not for everyone, it's for those that are called. Many are called, few are chosen. And what are we called unto? 1 Thessalonians 2:12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. The calling is unto his kingdom and glory. And I put John 1:45 in here because Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." We found him. He's the one who wrote of him. Moses wrote about him. And then in Hebrews chapter 2, we find something interesting about the little children. Hebrews 2:13, "Behold, I and the little children which God hath given me." The little children, I believe, are the seed. Because we find it was the little children, Numbers 14, that were to go into the land. Okay? Hebrews 2:14, "For as much then as the little children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Now this flesh and blood was not the flesh and blood of Isaac, and it wasn't the flesh and blood of Jacob, who was its flesh and blood. Well, verse 16 tells us he took on him the seed of Abraham. Why? Because he wanted to minister to the seed of Abraham, the anointed seed. He wanted to minister to the little children. And I'm going to close with Matthew 18:3. And he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So I hope you can see and appreciate how historical events came about. 430 years after the promise was made to Abraham, it was time for the promise and Moses was born. There's a whole lot of years from that time until the time that Jesus was born. I was trying to remember how many years it was between the last prophet and when Jesus was born. And I think it's around 400 years, but I'm not sure. I couldn't find it, and I didn't spend a whole lot of time looking for it. But you know what? Jesus came on the scene. He died for the sins of the whole world. There's no question about that, for every man. But he came to minister to the little children. And so what we want to do is we want to continue as little children and enter into the kingdom, seeking to do the will of the Father. Father, I just pray that you'd bless these thoughts to your honor and glory and our good and profit. So Lord, we do ask you for your blessings upon our study this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.